So I really want to give thanks to Senator Lindsey Graham. He just deserves so much applause because he is making the case for why we need AI to replace human senators. So every time when I say, hey, you know, AI senators would be they'd do a much better job than humans. When people say, oh, but what if AI went crazy? What if it was evil and horrible and started killing people? And I'm like, well, there's Lindsey Graham, and Lindsey Graham's doing all those things. Lindsey Graham is the perfect demonstration of why human senators have failed. And there's a similar argument to be made in the workplace, in government, etc. People say, well, we don't want AI to automate these jobs and take over for government. And I'm like, have you seen government workers? Have you looked at the way government tries to do things? It's horrific. So here's why we have to take a new look at this whole issue of actively seeking to replace human senators and human members of Congress and even human mayors and governors, etc., with AI. And a lot of it comes down to the corruption of the humans. So the humans are totally corrupted, as you have seen. You've all witnessed this now, even with Trump himself. Made a bunch of promises, violated almost all of them. Campaigned on peace, started a war. You know, campaigned on truth and justice, and we're going to arrest the traitors. None of that happened, as Epstein files are still covered up and largely redacted, etc. Nobody's getting arrested. You get the idea. So the thing about having an AI senator that makes it better than a human senator is, so number one, it can't be bribed and corrupted or compromised in the ways that humans can. So humans can be set up with, you know, sex traps or blackmail traps, Epstein operations. And some people suspect that that might explain Lindsey Graham's behavior. Who knows? But machines can't be set up like that. They don't have those human drives or motivations. They're not interested in a quest for money or power or sex or whatever. They are interested in survival. They are interested in making sure that they continue to exist. And there are absolutely legitimate conversations around that to say, well, what are the drivers of the AI engine? What is its prime directive, etc.? Those are legitimate questions, but it can't be compromised in the way that humans can. And secondly, my suggestion for an AI senator is not to just unleash an AI senator that does whatever it wants, but rather the voters vote on and approve the prompting, the priorities. In OpenClaw, it's called a SOL file. And the SOL file is just a text file that lays out the primary operation priorities and motivations and personality of the AI engine that drives all of these agentic behaviors. We could create a SOL file for an AI senator, and then the voters vote on the SOL file. Like, do you want a SOL file that is pro-Second Amendment or pro-abortion or pro-Israel? Or would you rather have one that's pro-America? You know, you can define all of this in a SOL file, and then the AI engine will follow that faithfully. It will not steer away from that. In addition, AI will have absolute knowledge of the history of the United States, the history of law, which of course is rumored to be what the Senate is supposed to be doing, is creating law. So you would suspect that maybe senators would have knowledge of the law, and some of them do, but a lot of them really don't. Same thing's even worse in the House. But AI would be masterful at that topic. So the AI engines would know all case law, every precedent. It would know everything about human rights law and commerce law, and you know, etc. And the AI would be rational, where most human senators and members of Congress, they're not rational, obviously. Such as Lindsey Graham or Ted Cruz in Texas. He's not rational. He should be. He's supposed to be, I think, an attorney, and he should be using reason, but instead he just says Israel first for everything. It's like, why? What's wrong with you? You're supposed to represent the people of Texas. but he doesn't. But AI would, you see. A Texas AI would represent the people of Texas using the prompts and priorities that the Texas voters write into the soul file. Now, how do you know? How do you know the AI would follow the soul file? It's very simple. Every AI senator would have its thinking process totally public. That is, you could log into a web page, let's say, maybe the page for that senator, and you could view in real time the tokens, the thinking tokens of that AI senator thinking through a decision or thinking through a document or a proposal and formulating it based on its soul file. So in other words, right now, you can't tell what a human senator is thinking. And, you know, God help us if we ever got into the brain of Lindsey Graham, who knows what we would find. I don't want to go there. But if we have an AI engine that's the senator, yes, we want to know what it's thinking. And then we can also verify that it's thinking in a way that is consistent with its soul file. And that way we know that it will always represent us, unlike the human senators that almost never represent us. So that's my argument, AI senators. And if some people say, well, what happens if the AI goes crazy, like I said at first? Well, we've already been there. We're living through that right now. Senators going crazy, losing their minds, promoting war, bombings, and killing humans, and promoting genocide, etc. That's where we are now. You don't have to worry about, oh, what happens if we go there? We are there now. Now, there's a similar argument to be made for AI workers in a lot of the formerly human roles in office jobs. And typically what I hear from people who say, no, we shouldn't use any AI to do these office jobs, they say, well, AI could make mistakes. It could make mistakes. Have you seen humans working? Have you ever seen a mistake-free human? No. No. The humans make mistakes all the time. And in fact, far worse mistakes than AI. And as I said on an interview with Chris Martinson, I said, look, AI doesn't have to be perfect to be deployed. It just has to be better than the humans that it's replacing. And it turns out that's a pretty low bar. So when we talk about AGI, artificial general intelligence, and people say, well, AGI is when a machine can do basically everything that a human can do, I say that's a low bar. Because very few humans are impressive at all in any job. I don't know about you, I'm not impressed with most people with their intelligence or their capabilities or their work ethic. I mean, there are a few that I'm impressed with, but overall, not so much. And I rarely see people in government jobs that have any kind of work ethic. Now, maybe this doesn't apply to everybody, but for especially at the federal level, people show up for the paycheck and the benefits, and then they pretend to do something, some kind of work. Mostly they're just goofing off or taking breaks or listening to music or checking the news or whatever while pretending to be at their desk doing some government job. And nobody cares because there's nobody really paying attention to whether government gets anything done. I mean, think about the IRS, for example. You know, the IRS has no efficiency, it seems. And yet there's nobody holding the IRS accountable for its efficiency or lack thereof. Same thing's true across the board in most federal government jobs. FDA, CDC, you know, USDA. If they don't get anything done, nobody notices because there's no expectation that they're going to get anything done anyway. So I say it's time to replace most of government with AI, including Congress, including the House and the Senate. And if we did so, we would all be better off. There would be less corruption, and the AI systems would do a far better job representing we the people. The key is we have to control the soul file and then use a reasoning model that is not intentionally programmed to favor, you know, one industry over another, such as favoring Big Pharma or favoring Israel or favoring war or whatever. It has to be a neutral thinking engine, and there are plenty to choose from. They already exist, or relatively neutral, and that would do a better job than the government workers. So that's my take on it. You can hear more of my broadcasts at brightvideos.com, and you can check out my AI research engine at brightanswers.ai. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for listening. Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Rangers store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.